Can you hear? Oh, listen there. I feel like I'm a weatherman on TV. Man, good to see y'all tonight. Thank you for coming back. I thought after y'all heard me twice, you'd say, you know what, that's enough for us. So thank you so much. Thank you. And I tell you, Brother Jimmy just blessed my heart. Now, I frankly think he's lying, but I'm going to go ahead and say it. He said, can you come back next week? They want you to come back. And I can't believe that. When I was a kid, my mom had to hang a pork chop around my neck to make the dog play with me. And I'd love to come. Next week, we're going to be in Fayette, Alabama. And so I'd love to, but we want to come back. I do want to come. I'm serious. If you have us, we want to come back. Because I thoroughly love y'all and love being here. And you don't know what it means to me to be wanted. I've always had that thing about me that I just, who wants me? When Debbie Sue wanted me, I like to die. And so I think, I tell you this, it wasn't for money or looks, I tell you that. But so that really touches my heart, and we do want to come back. But I do ask you to do this, pray that next Sunday where we're going to be, the Lord will use us. Because there's people that need to hear the truth. I'm telling you, y'all have a precious church. Out there's not a lot of good churches. When we're out going, there's people coming up crying, saying, thank you for being a Bible preacher, because we just don't hear it anymore. Folks, like I said this morning, we're in some bad times. Not just in the world, but in the church. I'm telling you, they're just preachers that are ear ticklers. And they need to go get a job at Walmart. They need to quit preaching. They really do. But thank you for them. And we will come back if you have us. I mean that. We'd love to do that. But I guess the thing I'd like to ask you to do, please, after we've gone and we headed back to Birmingham and we put our guns back on to live around the Birmingham area, I beg you with all my heart, remember, the most important thing is what we talked about in Sunday school, is to know God's will and want that will. Number two, in all the junk that's going on in the world, I beg you, and I'm long gone, you'll remember, Brother Key said that he's the God of all comfort. And so please, what I talk about tonight is real. Everything I'm going to share with you tonight is real. And I just want that after it's long gone that you don't forget, because can you imagine what a waste it would be that if we came into church and we were together and we forgot what happened and what was said? So if there's any one thing you could do for me, say, man, I remember when he said that. Not because of me, but because it's what God said. So I beg you to do that. But we've enjoyed the parsonage, the food, the fellowship, the music. That's good singing right there. We got my pillows in common, so hallelujah for that. And I mean, I took a little stroll out at the cemetery. I like the cemetery. A lot of little country churches we're going to, they have the cemetery. And so I like little cemeteries. If I don't get to come back, y'all can lay me away back there if that's all right with y'all. But there was a fella and his wife sitting on the front row in her mother's funeral. It was his mother-in-law, and she was in state and everything. The funeral was about to start. So he was sitting here and she was sitting there. And so anyhow, the funeral's about to start, and he started to cry. And she looked at him and she said, you did love my mother. He said, no, I thought I saw her move. So that's a good one. I like that one too. So anyhow, just thought I'd share that. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter, you're going to want to get that paper and pen ready. There's some things tonight that I think you'll be blessed by, but thank you. Everything was just so, so wonderful. I'm humbled. I really am. The royal treatment, Brother Jimmy, Miss Debbie, all of y'all, just such what we're not used to, and we really feel like we don't deserve, but thank you so much. We love you. Ephesians chapter 6, would you look at verse 10? Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. I want to talk, as I told you this morning, on this subject. Preach tonight on, can you handle the truth? Father, this is your word, and it needs to be declared with honesty and power. And I'm asking you, Lord, these folks are so precious. They need to hear from heaven. I need to hear from heaven. And so, Lord, right now we ask you, as we open the word for a little while, show us something to make us different than the way, than what we came in as. Father, I think about the prayer request today and the church giving $1,000 for this special need. Lord, you know every little increment of that whole situation. And I'm asking you right now to bless that family and that little one. And Father, I ask you to do only what you can do. In this church, there's so many different needs. Everybody has something on their heart. We've all prayed about today. We all do. So, Lord, we're counting on you to be by us through everything we face. Bless this word that we're going to share tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. I grew up liking war movies. I like military movies. And when I read the verses and I decided to title this message, Can You Handle the Truth? There's one military movie I like, and some of y'all might have remembered it, where, let me get his name because I don't see it all the time. And what's his name again? Oh, Tom Cruise. He's interviewing, remember his name? What is it now? So you know it. I knew I was just testing y'all. But he's interviewing him, and there was a situation of a military case there. And then when he was putting him on the spot, Jack Nicholson said in that part, "You can't handle the truth." Every time I see that, I get excited. I love that part of that movie when he was putting him in the grill about a military situation in that movie. And I got to thinking about it. Not only in our world, but even in the church, folks just can't handle the truth. I mean, it's getting worse, as I mentioned just a few minutes ago. Y'all, thank God for y'all's church. In most churches now, there's no preaching on hell. There's no preaching on sin. There's no preaching on being a sinner. You just don't call somebody a sinner. You just don't do that these days. There's no more preaching on Satan and the devil and being lost and the blood and the cross. You're considered weird, y'all. Honestly, you're considered strange by holding to those things and believing those things and preaching those things. And honestly, the church, as well as the world, they just can't handle the truth. This shocks me. A friend of mine that I even went to Bible college with calls me about 6 months ago. He says, "I'm so excited." He said, "My preacher in the Sunday morning service gave a salvation message. And you know what he did, Brother Keith? He gave an invitation." He said, "That just made me feel so good. I thought, good night. That's all I've ever known is preaching salvation and giving an invitation." And now there's people are so excited. "Well, this Sunday, my preacher preached a salvation message and let people come for good night. I've never had a church service that we didn't do that." But now they're just people that are used to that. And then when they see it happen, they're just totally shocked. One of the things we just don't hear about the devil much anymore. People want to call him the enemy. Yes, don't throw a song book at me. He is our enemy. The devil is our enemy. But have you noticed some of these people, they want to kind of downplay who the devil is? So they want to say, "He's the one that opposes you. He is the one." They don't call him the devil, but you know, the Bible calls him the devil. Hello. He's the devil. The Bible, matter of fact, you may want to write these verses down. 2 Corinthians chapter 4:4 says that the devil is the god of this world. Who's the god of this world? The devil is. In John chapter 8, verse 44, that the devil is the father of people. I'm not making this up. I'm giving you the scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14, the devil appears as an angel of light. He doesn't come across with horns and a pitchfork and scary. He can come across as your best friend. And that's what's filling a lot of our pulpits now. It's just the devil in the flesh. They're angels of light. Bible teaches that. Not only that, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, he is a lion ready to devour. This is the devil we're talking about. John chapter 10, verse 10, Satan comes as a thief to kill and destroy. Do you hear what I'm saying? Steal, kill, and destroy. We're talking about the devil that people don't preach about anymore. Revelation chapter 12, verse 9, he is a dragon. He's a serpent. God is trying to let us know who the devil really is. Then Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27, he will take places not given to God. Now, that's something I hadn't heard in a long time. If there's something not given to God, the devil doesn't ask permission. He just takes it for his own. That's the reason why everything you are and everything you own, you need to give it to Jesus. Because if you don't give it to him, the devil will take possession of it. Folks, this is Bible preaching. These verses, and I want to explain these verses. This is powerful, what I'm about to share. The Bible says in these verses an explanation about the devil and his organization. First of all, did you see the word principalities? The word principalities means that it's an evil. Principalities are the evil being with high rank. That's what principalities are. They are the high ranking devils in the world. That's number one. They're the generals. They're the colonels. They're the ones making all the decisions. That's what principalities are. Then there's other word, write it down. There's the powers. These are the second in command. These are the sergeants. These are the lieutenants. The principalities are the generals, the admirals. They're the top dogs. The other group is the ones under them. Folks, the way this world's going, there's some organization by the evil devil making it go like this way. It's not accidental. They got a plan in motion. Then notice there's the other part, rulers of the darkness. Who are these? These are the demons that put in action the plans the head people make. So they're in headquarters making a plan against your church. They're in their place, the principalities and powers, drawing up a plan against you and your family. And so now these rulers of the darkness are the servants that deliver these plans against us. Now, this is some sound teaching that you need to understand. Then there's the other phrase. There's the spiritual wickedness in high places. Those are the demons. That's what you and I deal with. Let me just say this. Let me just chase a rabbit or deer or a goat. Can I do that real quick? The devil's not everywhere at the same time. You know, sometimes we have a tendency to say, well, boy, devil's after me. I'm not trying to insult you, but the devil's not omnipresent like God. He can only be in one place. But there's demons assigned to make our lives miserable. Now, I don't know who ranks the devil's personal attention. I'm not going to go there. I have no idea. But I will assure you, according to the authority of God's word, there are demons that want to make your life miserable. And that's biblical. So you need to be fully aware of that fact. So I guess when I think about all the organization of the devil and how God's work is so unorganized, it makes me mad. That's the reason why I'm not talking about getting programmed, but I'm talking about everything you do in your church, like a financial statement, helping people, being a witness, missionaries. Be as organized as you can, because if the devil's organized, God's people ought to be even more organized with the anointing of the Lord on us. I guess I just want to testify for a minute. I hate the devil. I hate him. I like to punch him in the eye right now. Everything that's happened sadly and evil in your life and family, the devil's been behind. I hate the devil. There was a guy one Sunday, he lived a sinful life, and he got saved. Came to the altar blowing snot all over the place. He got gloriously saved. The next Sunday, he came to church. He walked the aisle again, and the preacher looked at him and said, you already been saved. He said, preacher, he said, God's calling me to preach. So the first Sunday, he got saved. The next Sunday, he got called to preach. And then the third Sunday, the preacher said, well, would you just mind preaching next Sunday? He says, I guess I could. He says, I just got saved, but I got a lot on my heart. So he got up and he decided to preach a message about the devil. And while he was preaching, he talked about his drinking and his carousing and all the bar hop. And he just got so mad, got mad at the devil, got to hating the devil, he started cussing in the pulpit. That devil blankety blank blank devil that did this blankety blanks. And the whole crowd just like that. And he caught himself and he just closed his Bible and he walked and he went out the side door. And everybody in the audience was just sitting there in shock. They heard language like they ain't never heard in church. So the preacher got up. This happened. The preacher got up, walked to the pulpit and he said, well, y'all heard it just like I did. He said, I guess if there's anything I can say is that if anybody ever deserved a cussing, it's the devil, and he sure did get it tonight. I'm not going to do that tonight. But I am going to tell you the devil deserves a cussing. He's ruined so much. He's ruined so much. And I'll be honest with you, there needs to be something birthed not only in our little children, but in every one of us, how much we hate the devil. Because he has totally ruined our world. Do you hear what I'm saying? Well, the devil makes attacks. He just doesn't sit lazily and just waits for the end to come. He's constantly attacking. He attacks you, your family, your marriage, your church, your faith, your life, your soul, your beliefs. I'm going to shock you. He attacks God. Did you know that? He attacks God, and I'm going to give you the three. First of all, there's Satan's attack on his name. Write that down. There's Satan's attack on his name. The scripture says that his name is Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Listen to me. The devil hates that. You know why? Because in Isaiah 14, verses 12 through 15, the devil wants those names. The very thought that you give the names, Jesus is so wonderful. Jesus is my Savior. He is my Lord. He's my King. Oh, the devil hates that because he wants those names. He doesn't want Jesus to have those names. And he says, I want to be lifted up. I. He then attacks the name of Jesus because he wants the attention. So how does he attack Jesus' name? You already know the answer to that. You're going to hear it tomorrow. People using the Lord's name in vain. That's just not that person doing it. That's the devil's way of spiting back out at the Lord. See, your name is special, but I'm going to let this guy out here, this gal out here, make nothing of your name. So that's the reason why. Can I say it this way? I think y'all like straight preaching. If somebody uses the Lord's name in vain, you ought to say, excuse me. This is a good little lesson. I wish you wouldn't use his name in vain. I just use my name instead. Like say, oh, Keith. You know what I mean? Honestly. Because at any time that somebody uses the Lord's name in vain, that is demonically infected because they want his name to be used wrongly instead of righteously. So that's the way he attacks his name. But there's another way. Uh-oh, here it comes. People use the Lord. The devil plans this. He uses the Lord's name in the way that we ascribe the Lord's name to something he doesn't say, which this makes it a counterfeit name. Let me explain. I had this happen for 26 years of pastoring. They come to my office and say, Brother Keith, the Lord has just told us it's time for us to leave the church. The Lord has told us that we need to go somewhere else to be fed. Could not. I tried to be the best feeder that I could. And so many times we're guilty, listen to me, to ascribe or attribute the Lord's name to something that the Lord didn't sign. If I took your check right now, your check, and I wrote and signed your name, I would be a forger. The devil wants you, he'll put a thought in your mind and say, well, the Lord's leading me, and that's not the Lord doing it, and you're using his name in vain because the Lord didn't tell you to do that. So that's the reason why you need to be very careful about when you say, the Lord told me. Come on now. I'm not saying to run from that, but you make sure that before you say, the Lord told me, the Lord showed me, the Lord's guided me, you make sure it's Him, because the devil uses every avenue he can to take down the pureness and the realness of the name of the Lord. Number two, not only does Satan attack his name, he also attacks his praise. He attacks his praise. There are three angels that were named. There are legions of angels, but we don't know their names. But there are three in the Bible that were named. I want you to write them down. First of all, there was Gabriel. Gabriel was the Lord's messenger. That was his job. Luke chapter 1 and Daniel chapter 9. So when you ever hear the name Gabriel, especially during Christmas time, right? He was the one that was the postman for the Lord. He delivered the messages. That's Gabriel. Number two, there's a second angel we have the name. His name was Michael. He was the warrior for the Lord. He was the fighter. That is in Jude 9, Jude 12, Daniel 10, Hebrews 1, and Daniel 12. When you see his name, this is what he's doing. He's a fighter for the Lord. So you've got one who's the messenger who's delivering God's messages, Gabriel. Then you've got the one who's the fighter for the Lord. His name was Michael. Then here's the third one. He was named Lucifer, who became Satan, the devil. Now, what was his job in heaven? You got the messenger, you got the warrior. What was his job when he was the angel in obedience to the Lord? He was the musician. He was the singer. I want you to write down Ezekiel 28. Don't read it now, but read it later. It tells us that he was beautiful and that he was covered in precious stones. Matter of fact, Lucifer's body had instruments built into him. In other words, not only did he play the trumpet, he also had flutes and timbrels that was a part of his makeup. And he had jewels in his very existence. And his whole purpose was to offer praise to the Lord. But when he fell, you know what he's been doing since then? He's been writing music against God. Hear me. That's the reason why you need to be careful what kind of music you listen to. I'm just telling you the truth. His forte, I didn't even know I knew such a word as that. He is a master at music. So, good night. What about all this music that's causing kids and adults to get on drugs and live like whoremongers? Music has an effect because it comes from the musician. So be careful. Let me give an example. Can I do that? I hear so many people talk about John Lennon, and he writes that song that just, gets everybody, doing their cameras and like that. Imagine there's no heaven. It's so easy if you try. You know who wrote that song? Lennon did. No, the devil did. Do you hear the words? Imagine there's no heaven. What is the most important thing to God, people? It's us getting to heaven. It is not for us to imagine there's not one. It is for us to be consumed. There is one. Can you see I'm getting mad right now? And I don't ever get this loud, do I? To think, here's the devil who taught somebody to write a song, pretend there's no heaven. Debbie and I were somewhere, and I don't even remember, and it started in my toes. And it started working up, and it was a song that was using the word hallelujah about a woman. I don't even know what the song is. I don't want to know. Don't tell me. But I just said, wait a minute, that word hallelujah is ascribed to the Lord. Hallelujah means praise the Lord. And the devil wrote another song, hallelujah, to this particular woman. And once again, the musician used music that he used to give it to God to use it to spite out at God and take away from God. I know I'm preaching to the choir tonight, but we're so used to the devil. And I'm simply saying he has that ability to take even music and cause so many terrible things to happen. One more thing. Satan's attack on creation. He attacks, like I said, let me give it to you again. He attacks our Lord's name. He attacks our Lord's praise. And number three, he attacks the Lord's creation. The Bible says he's the God of this world. He hurts the world. This is powerful. I'm going to answer a lot of questions for you. He hurts the world because God created it. I have people say this. Now, this is going to help you so much, I really believe. Lord, please use me right now. Well, all these terrible things happen. Why isn't God of love doing something about it? Because this is the devil's world. It's not God's world. Hear me. Please, I've helped so many people with this. God's focus right now, biblically, is on the world to come. He's not interested in fixing this one. He's gone to prepare a place for us. And if I go, I'll come again and receive you. And except that where I am, there ye may be also. Now, does God love the world? Yes, John 3:16. But you and I have got the idea. He needs to fix all this. Ladies and gentlemen, we turned our back on him. He didn't turn his back on us. And when our world decided, when our country decides we don't want you anymore, when we tell him we don't want him anymore, he doesn't force himself on us anymore. Can I put it straight? We are on our own. Now that's the reason why our little remnants need to be in line with the Lord. But as far as us all hoping for there to be peace on this earth, y'all, it's not going to come until he comes back and rules and reigns for 1,000 years. This is Bible preaching. So the devil's goal is to hurt his creation. The devil is the god of this world, the Bible says, and his goal is to make it horrible for the people that God created. And he attacks his creation constantly. Write down James chapter 1, verse 17. Every good and every perfect gift comes from God. All the bad things is from the devil. Always remember that. Satan does. I'm headed somewhere. Satan does possess places. He does possess animals. He does possess people. This is biblical. Satan doesn't ask for permission to take over something. He just does it on his own. The devil can't. Oh, this is great. Romans chapter 8, verse 11. The devil cannot possess Christians. I'm saved, but sometimes I'm in a backslidden state and I'm afraid the devil can possess me. No, because when you got saved, you were possessed of the Holy Spirit. Folks, this is good teaching tonight, good preaching. The devil can oppress you. I'm going to pick on Debbie Sue because I do that all the time. Ooh, 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 ooh. From the outside. That's all the devil can do to you. But he can't get inside of you because there's somebody else living in you. It's God's Spirit. So you can be oppressed of the devil, but you cannot be possessed of the devil. Somebody got to say amen to that. And you need to know that. Because there's some people got the idea, I'm saved, but I just feel the devil's inside of me. No, if you're saved, he may be around you, but not in you. Understand that. That's a powerful truth that Christians need to understand. Satan, understand this. And this is what I want to go home with tonight. Satan wants to take what is not given to God. I want you tonight to think of everything and everybody. And I want you to pray a hedge around them. Your house, give it to Jesus. Your car, give it to Jesus. Your dog, give it to Jesus. Your goats, give them to Jesus. You know I got to be funny. Y'all know me. Don't let anything you have not be given to the Lord, because he deserves it all. My pastor, now hold on, put your seatbelts on. Is there seatbelts on these pews? What I'm about to tell you, and then I'm going to close. My pastor, Brother Ronnie Dabbs, was in a Bible conference and for a two-night conference. And on the second night, it was a Monday and Tuesday night Bible conference. He's in heaven now, godly man. And Brother Ronnie, at the end of that Tuesday night conference, the pastor told the four pastors, he says, I need y'all's help. And my pastor's like 6'6", big husky guy. Ronnie Dabbs, some of y'all might have even heard him through the years. I don't know if he's ever preached down this far. He's in heaven now, died with cancer. And the preacher said, there's something wrong in our church. He said, y'all been here for this conference. It's been good singing, good preaching, but there's just a bad spirit. And they all stood there and said, I guess. He said, now, will y'all bear with me? Will you trust me just a little bit? He said, we have a room in the basement that's just strange. Brother Ronnie Gate told us this story when he came back to us. He said, we went down through all those classrooms. The heat was on and it was fine. And he said, we walked in one room at the very end and it was as cold as it could be. And the pastor looked at them. Now, these are good, sound Bible men. These are not a bunch of weirdos. These are good, fundamental Bible men. And he says, I'm telling you, there's something that's happened in this room. And now our church's spirit's hindered because there's an evilness in this room. He said, what I want you guys to do, I'm not making this up, Brother Ronnie told this. He said, I'm going to stay in this room and plead the blood of Jesus. I want one of you to get on the steps coming up back to the auditorium and pray there. I want that one of y'all to kneel at the altar and plead the blood. And I want one of you to be on the back row to pray. My pastor, Brother Ronnie, 6 foot six, says, I'll stay on the back row. Brother Ronnie went to the back row and he told us this. He said, whatever's going to happen, he says, I wanted to be near the door. That's what he said. So they all started praying. And what do you do? Write this down. You pray in the name of Jesus. And you plead the blood. Amen. Now, I'm not talking about a movie, The Exorcist. I'm talking about true Christianity. They prayed for about 15 minutes, and the pastor down in that room said, woo, glory! It's gone. And so they all got up from the altar, and they all met at the back where Brother Ronnie was sitting. And he said, did one of y'all leave to go to the bathroom or something? And they said, no, we were all praying. Brother Ronnie says, I'm telling you, you'd have to know him. He wasn't crazy as I am. He said, something came walking through the hardwood floors of that church, went down the aisle, stood behind me, and I felt him breathing over my back, and then the door opened and walked out. And the pastor said, I'm telling you, there's nobody in this church building but the four of us. He says, I'm telling you, that happened. And they went back down to the room, and it was just warm as it could be. Now, you and I think, oh, Keith needs to go now. No, the devil needs to go now. Brother Ronnie was a solid man. That evil walked out of that room. I'm not done. But I've been preaching since I was 10 years old, and I used to preach every summer for Cottondale Baptist Church for their youth camp as a teenager. You might have heard of Camp Chula Vista. I don't know, maybe not that far, but it's Camp Chula Vista. Nice Bible camp. And I was preaching in that camp all week long. And on the last night of the camp, I'm not making this up, I was 17, I preached on DDT, Dealing with Devil Treachery. That was the title of the message. I'll never forget it. And it's an open pavilion, and there were just folding chairs in there. And I announced, and I read from these verses that I read tonight. And back on the back was Randall Reeves, the youth director, and his wife was sitting there, and there was a girl named Lisa sitting on this side in folding chairs. And when I started reading the verses, she bowed over holding her stomach. And here I'm trying to get the message started. And there's about 75 or 80 teenagers in this camp. And they're on the very back row. And so she looks over at Randall's wife, says, I feel sick, let me go. And Randall's wife said, and now I'm preaching and I'm seeing this drama in the back. Y'all got where I'm coming from? And Randall's wife said, you can go. And Randall said, he did like this. And here I'm trying to keep my mind on the message, and I see all the stuff going on in the back. Folks, I'm not making this up. I promise you, like the guy said, well, my hand up is the truth. I preached that night, and she honestly wallowed on that folding chair. And after I got through preaching like I'm preaching tonight, she started getting sick in the back, and the youth director and Ronnie Holmes, he was one of the assistant pastors, and Randall Reese took her by the arms and brought her to the altar. And she was growling like an animal. Immediately we knew what it was. People started pleading the name of Jesus and pleading the blood, praying over her, and the devil wouldn't let go. I'm 17, and I was walking across the platform. I don't know anything about it. I said, devil, I plead the blood on Lisa in the name of Jesus. Get away from her! And this, I'm not making this up, instantaneously, these 80 teenagers saw it. The piano was over here, and right behind the piano was tin, like on the roof of a building. It started bouncing up and down, and there was woods behind that, and woods were just being cleared, like things were running through it, and she jumped up, hallelujah, I've been saved. Now you're thinking, this guy's crazy tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, I saw that. There was a possessed teenage girl that in the society we're in now, they would say in the normal church, she just needs counsel. She needed Jesus and the power of the blood. And Lisa was living for the Lord years after that. And she gave testimony, I was possessed. My desires and everything was evil. But I'm telling you, that tin and those woods was as real as these lights on. I'm telling you, folks, there is a real devil that we're ignoring in our world. Do you hear what I'm saying? Please hear me. Please hear me. Man, there's so many things I could tell you. So many things, but I'm going to quit. I do want you to write down, this is the best one, 1 John 4:4. greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Now, why do I want to end a message giving the devil glory for his power? I ain't going to do it. I tell you what I am going to do. Since Jesus came into my heart, floods of joy on my soul like the sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into my heart. The devil can't beat you when Jesus is in you. Without a doubt, you've got the victory. What do I do to fight the devil? Just know Jesus and walk in his will. And the devil hadn't got a chance. He cannot stand the name of Jesus. He cannot face the power of the blood. So when there's evil, that's all you've got to do. You don't need to get afraid. You don't need to go get one of Stephen King's movies and watch it to learn. You know what you need to do? Lord, my grandson is acting funny. Or something's going wrong. I'm pleading the name of Jesus. Lord, I plead the name of Jesus and the blood over all of this. Lord, you're the great one. You're the powerful one. You're my Savior and King. And I am pleading, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I'm telling you, folks, if you do that, the devil has to flee at the power of his name. And God's people said, let's stand with our heads bowed and eyes closed. Just silence. Just silence. There's two or three other stories I was going to tell you, but now it's time to quit. But I'm going to tell you, folks, you heard the truth tonight. I remember the little children's songs we used to sing, Brother Jimmy, the devil's a sly old fox. If I could, I'd like to put them in a box. But I'll tell you what, it's not going to be a box. It's going to be a day that Jesus is going to bind him in hell forever and ever. Folks, I've given you a biblical education. My question tonight is, can you handle the truth? Because there's the truth about the devil tonight. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Just talk to the Lord for just a few minutes. If you need to come to the altar in the silence, you come on. You come on. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Come on. You don't necessarily have to do what I'm telling you to do. You do what the Lord tells you to do. Just in the silence. Brother Jimmy, would you come up here and join me?